This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You see what I mean? Straight ahead guy, Kurt Collins, blue blurry lines and the saucers that time forgot. When you came up with the title, you and your co-author, did you think of the movie The Land That Time Forgot?
Well, I did, but you know, there was a book before that, Edgar Rice Burroughs. I thought it was a good way to, you know, in the movie, it is a prehistoric land, and I kind of liked it. Just evokes the right mood for me. So, and you know, maybe we should have picked up something shorter. Maybe we should have said UAPs that time forgot, or something, UFOs. But anyway.
Yeah, that really is going to improve it, right? UAP. you know. Okay, now you've just really picked on a sore spot with me when it comes to that. Just before the break, you guys were talking about Rick Doty, and he was the focus of a film by Mark Pilkington and John Lundberg called Mirage Men. Now, what do you think of that, Kurt? Do you think that's a pretty good portrayal of what was going on with him?
I haven't watched the film in a while, but I've watched it several times, and I happened to buy the expanded edition with, there's a bonus disc with 22 scenes, and I think there might have been some with Doty. I reviewed some of the non-Doty parts recently, but one of the things they talk about is Project Serpo, and he was involved in that. And for people who don't remember that, it was something about an alien human exchange program. And you know, we've talked about a bunch of old science fiction, some of which is bad and some isn't, but this was pretty bad. And the plot line was like some you would expect maybe like an 8-year-old child to write about aliens. It was just so unsophisticated. I think they may have cheated and opened up a physics book to throw a few lines of that in there to make it more convincing, but it was awful. And the movie doesn't deal with Serpo that much, but mostly it's the Benowitz story that I referred to briefly and all the disinformation. So one of the people, he came up with this package of MJ-12 stuff to Linda Moldenhauer, and it was so bizarre because it was basically asserting that Jesus Christ was one of the aliens that had come here to serve as a teacher, and it promoted the reality of Roswell. And he also, the lawyer Peter Gersten, who was attached to the Cash Lanham case, he mainly did the paperwork and not the actual court work, of which there was very little. But he met with Rick Doty, and Doty, I think he actually had him come on his base, which helped establish his credibility. And he told him all, you know, similar things about Roswell and other things. And I don't know how much he told him about the Cash Lanham case, but he was dropping all these things like Project Snowbird and Red Box? I can't think. But even some of those terms made it into Peter Gersten's attempt to get information out of the government in relation to the Cash Lanham case. And so whether it was a deliberate red herring or accidental, it did sort of derail the effort to get to the truth of the Cash Lanham case. But some people actually watched that film, and they think that Doty is sincere when he says that he was doing his service to the country, and that, you know, this is what the government had asked him to do, is to persuade Benowitz that this was alien and to stop investigating the base, or just, you know, to throw him off the scent of the fact this was U.S. technology being tested. But, you know, he admits some parts of this so freely, and he claims friendship, but, you know, a charismatic liar can sell you any story. So,
well, what do you think? Do you think that this was our own technology that Benowitz was accidentally observing and picking up on his systems, or do you think it was actually something alien, and they're using Doty and the base and secret technology to cover up the real thing. Like, which one is it?
Oh, boy. Well, so now, see, I don't have great direct familiarity with this, but I happen to know Christian Lambright, who is a friend of Benowitz, and I've heard his version. He's convinced that there he did film some things that were anomalous. And Greg Bishop, who's written Project Beta and spent a lot of time investigating it, he's much more of the opinion that it was strictly conventional material, probably not only signals intelligence, but some of this may have been relating to drone testing and things like that around 1979 to 80 and around that period. It was happening in the Southwest. That's possible. I don't know if that's all connected to that, but the one thing that persuades me that probably Paul Benowitz was on the wrong trail was even before Richard Doty was involved, he had been obsessed and had become somewhat emotionally disturbed. So I think he already had a problem, and I think Richard Doty's influence pushed him further into this, became more secluded, more paranoid. I don't think he created it. He exploited it. And so, but the biggest question to me is how much of this was actually sanctioned by Air Force superiors and how much of this was Doty. I think Gene used the word gone maverick. And I think it started off as an assignment. He may already had an interest in UFOs. And I think we talked about this before when we were had a discussion about that. I liken some hoaxers to arsonists, that they want to this destruction and they want to see what's caused. I think that's kind of the personality that Doty may have. He is like an internet troll who really has no positive goal. He wants to upset people, to mislead them, and then see them get into argument, and he gets to watch and laugh. That's my take on him.
Well, it's certainly a way to hide information in a sense about UFOs. You flood the airways with nonsense. You know, we talk about fake news, and if you look at any topic nowadays, there are people with wacky rumors about things, and you have to try to separate the wacky rumors from the real stuff. And obviously in the UFO field, this probably goes on quite often because you have people looking for glory. People like a Rick Doty, who may have been discredited but still goes on. Then again, if we want to be conspiratorial, I will. What if Doty was demoted from his original rank, not because he did something funky, but to give the impression that what he said wasn't to be believed, so he could say anything he wants, truthful, but people would look and say, oh, it's Doty, he's making it up. That's really conspiratorial.
Well, you know, I don't think that's true. But to play along with you, so sometimes when you have this, someone they want to put in place as an undercover cop, they put them in prison to work a backstory. So they actually have a prison record, and they have this name, and, you know, the rap sheet may be phony, but the prison record to some extent is real. So if we're going to believe that these people are doing some of this real counterintelligence work, that's plausible.
But then again, that raises the big issue here, too, which is if you're going to do this counterintelligence work to gauge public reaction, psyops, whatever, or just to hide what's really going on, is this how they do it? And if we expose what they do, what difference does it make? Because we don't know. It's not as if someone's going to say, well, yeah, we hired Doty to be a disinformation agent, and this is the kind of stuff he does, as opposed to conveying the impression that he's just a wackadoodle. You like that? Wackadoodle. The late Long John Ebel said, wackading hoy, for crazy people doing crazy things. We're not crazy, I don't think. Gene Randall and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Personally, Kurt Collins, how much of all this stuff is deliberate government-engineered nonsense as opposed to private lunatics?
I would love to know exactly the answer. I've chipped away at some things. So I've got one example for you, and it's not strictly alien, but there's an alien word in it. So I'll try to keep this brief, but because this is a proven example that we have testimony and even pictures of. So this was, I mentioned the stealth fighter earlier. Well, when that was all secret, they were trying to train the pilots, keep them trained, but they only wanted to fly the planes at night. So they had these A-7 planes, and they outfitted them with a transponder, because the plane, as far as the pilot actions and the handling, was similar to the F-117. So that's when they use that for daylight flights to keep the guys sharp. But the men themselves, the pilots, they were under security. So they had this. So why is this old plane? Why is this in a secure facility? Why is it guarded? So they came up with an excuse, and they decided that they had an invisibility device that was being tested that happened to be atomic powered. And the nickname for it was the Klingon cloaking device. And they let that leak. So that was an excuse for anyone that wasn't in the loop why there was all this security and secrecy that, you know, and you're not supposed to talk about this. So there's actually a photograph of this in the air. I'm not sure if it's an official museum or just the base of this Klingon cloaking device, and it's this black cylinder, and it has the words printed on it, and there's this atomic port on it. And it's been mentioned a few times. I think it was in Ben Rich's book. It's in another book, Memoirs of a Stealth Fighter. This was a deception. It was deliberately leaked as a cover story. And is this the same toolbox? Is this the same kind of methods that they use as distraction, a deception and a deliberate leak to put people off the trail? And I think that it is, it's probably a Mirage Man style trick. And something else that's come up, and this is plausible. This is not something we can prove, but I've heard this mentioned as plausible. And that is that occasionally these UFO rumors leak just for the sake of tracking where the information goes. You know, if a secure person, a person with classification, lets tell someone else, they want to know, is this going, you know, does this reach the Soviets? Or, you know, in the '80s, even the Soviets, I don't know who they'd be worried about now. So that it's basically, it's like a marked bill, except it's information. It's something that you can trade, and it gets in the hand of wrongdoers. So that's one idea about this. That makes more sense in a way than just making something up to pollute and confuse the public. That has a specific purpose. And most of the things the military do, as confused as they are and the mistakes they make, it is a purpose. When they build the stealth fighter, it was to do a specific job. And these other planes, they had reconnaissance missions or bomb missions. It was something really solid. It wasn't like they weren't just building a cool plane because they had millions. They had to get funding for this. And some of the things wound up being, you know, really amazing and secret for a while, usually not very long. So that's one of the things, just to pivot on that secrecy point. So in the case of the Cashlander incident, if it was a test craft, there has to be funding for this. It takes usually years to build, probably thousands of people, at least to support a staff of hundreds. And it's very difficult to keep all that secret. And in the case of the stealth fighter, they really didn't. There were leaks. They managed to keep the secret out of the eyes of camera. But word got out. They knew they were building some kind of plane, but just not exactly what and when and its capabilities and technical specifications. So I think I answered part of your question. So what else were we did we need to examine there?
I'd like to just jump back to some of the pop culture references and one that we missed. I don't go quite as far back as you guys do with things, but back in 1967 and 1968, there was a television show that I was just absolutely fascinated with called The Invaders, that starred actor Roy Thins, who portrays an architect, David Vincent, who stumbles upon a plot by space aliens to invade the Earth. And it's got all kinds of these early ufology archetypes and tropes. There's like the flying discs, of course. Those were based off the models from Adamski. Well, Adamski claimed they were real, but of course, you know, other people have since debunked that, saying, well, that, you know, they conform perfectly to like a chicken brooder lamp. and the Rex Heflin photo. You've got other things like ridiculing UFO witnesses, diagnosing UFO witnesses as mentally disturbed, aliens abducting humans and experimenting on them, and aliens posing as human beings. And when the aliens died, their bodies would glow red and burn up along with their clothes and anything else they were touching, leaving little more than traces of black ash, which is very reminiscent of spontaneous human combustion.
Right, and it's that served to make the proof so elusive. I remember some shows where he managed to photograph the saucers, and of course, if he managed to show it to someone else, they were killed and it was destroyed. So it was people would be more familiar with the X-Files, and there was some of the same X-Files flavor in this, where usually he may have a partial victory, but he doesn't win the war. You know, he may win a little battle, but he may force the aliens to shut up where they're shut down where they're operating, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you're right about that. In the very first episode, he sees this, sees the ship, the aliens. When he goes back, it's gone. His career's destroyed. He's not believed and he's ridiculed. And that's what prompts him to go on the crusade from show afterwards.
The show lasted two seasons. And to quote Roy Finns, who's still alive, by the way, he said, "It was a political decision to cancel it, but also just about everything Quinn Martin had on at the time was canceled." He was the producer, Quinn Martin. He also did The Fugitive. Okay. I don't know why shows get canceled.
Okay. You guys probably remember this, though. When you say Quinn Martin, that was one of those things that I still remember from back from when I was a kid. And like you say, like he produced The Fugitive, I think it was 12 O'Clock High, The FBI, The Streets of San Francisco, and Canon. And he had this announcer that had this very authoritative voice, I think Hank Sims maybe. See, you guys are the experts on this, but, you know, it was like a Quinn Martin production.
And it, right. sounded,
and it was like, this is a good show. You just knew it was going to be a good show because of that announcer.
It was seriously portrayed. I mean,
you know what's serious? Serious is to do this break, and we've got more to come. Quinn Martin. Huh. Wow, since I heard that name with Gene Randall and Kurt Drin.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to see the energy of the protests following the in-custody death of George Floyd in Minneapolis put into definitive actions.
New York should pass what we call the Say Their Name reform agenda.
The proposed law would make police officers' disciplinary records transparent, definitively ban police chokeholds, make false race-based 911 calls a hate crime, and codify that the state attorney general must act as an independent prosecutor for all police murder cases. With huge protests in Washington, D.C., the Pentagon told National Guardsmen deployed in the Capitol not to use firearms or ammunition. Also, Defense Secretary Mark Esper ordered the remaining active duty soldiers who'd been on standby in the D.C. area back to their home base. This is USA Radio News. Former Vice President Joe Biden has formally clinched the Democratic presidential nomination following Tuesday's presidential primaries. Biden took on President Trump over his Rose Garden comments, suggesting George Floyd would think it was a great day in terms of equality. Touting better-than-expected May employment figures, President Trump connected that to George Floyd's death.
Hopefully George is looking down right now and saying this is a great thing that's happening for our country.
Former Vice President Joe Biden responded to the president.
George Floyd's last words, "I can't breathe," have echoed all across this nation and, quite frankly, around the world. For the president to try to put any other words in the mouths of George Floyd, I frankly think is despicable.
John Hopkins University finds new cases of COVID-19 are now rising faster worldwide. For the past week, there's been over 100,000 cases a day. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, I'm going to look up who was the announcer for Quinn Martin while you continue talking about him.
I was just going to say, you know, all those shows, these were serious storylines. The FBI series in particular was based on FBI cases, and it wasn't frivolous. It wasn't like My Favorite Martian, where, you know, it was all for laughs and everything. So it was probably a bit too serious for some people, maybe on the grim side. I think it was a commercial success. I remember some of the things that were the product tie-ins. There was a saucer model. There was a Big Little Book. There was a comic book series. There was two or three paperback novels based on the show. So it had lots of tie-ins.
I've got the model, actually. I've got the model. I still have to build it, but I've had it for years, and I've been carrying it around.
Wait. You still have to build it?
Yeah, I've been carrying it around with me for years and years, probably 20 years. I've never put the thing together, but I thought it was so cool. I just had to have it. So it's along with all of my other UFO paraphernalia. When you talk about pop culture, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes along with it. There's toys and trinkets and puzzles, and it's in our culture now so fine-grained that I don't think there's anybody that doesn't know about the concept of alien visitation.
Oh, by the way, the announcer was Hank Sims. Okay. He also did The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, the Academy Awards, Emmy Awards, Golden Globes. I mean, he worked on a lot of shows. There's several announcers who have that kind of reputation. There's another guy who does the introduction to the Law and Order series, and he's probably spent 2 minutes doing all the introductions to all the shows, but has continued over hundreds and hundreds of episodes to get a paycheck for that maybe 10 minutes of work.
Oh, you remember I don't know if they're still using it, James Earl Jones, the throwaway line, "This is CNN." I mean, he did that during an interview or something, and they used that for years, and it had such power. I mean, what a great voice. Just to bring UFOs back into it, played Barney Hill in the TV movie.
Oh, cool. Interesting. I've got a few, like, UFO flying saucers comics, actually, and some of the Invaders comics. It's just one of those things. I would just collect anything that had to do with UFOs, and there definitely were comics that featured alien abductions. We have a thread on our forum as well where people can go. Just look up UFO pop culture and clips, and there's all kinds of images, including ones from comic books. This one I'm looking at here now. The comic book then was 25 cents. It was a gold key comic. And it's got a picture of a guy being abducted, floated by aliens. It looks like maybe something out of Pascagoula, probably the Pascagoula incident. You know, are they trying to tell us something? Exciting reports of recent encounters.
Okay, this is interesting. You want trivia, guys? I'll give you. Stephen Zern Kilton was a U.S. congressman, actually for the Maine House of Representatives, on two separate occasions. Stephen Zern Kilton. What is he known for? The announcer for all the Law and Order series.
Wow.
He was a representative for the state of Maine for 1 2-year term, 1 6-year term. And the guy's still alive, by the way. He was born in 1958. But his claim to fame, in addition to all the other stuff he did, was shows produced by Dick Wolf.
Hmm. Oh, getting back to those Gold Key comics, they had a long, long series, ran for, well, not as long as Law and Order, say, but from late 60s through late 70s. It's a pretty respectable run. What was interesting about that is Gold Key also had the rights to Star Trek, but they only had the rights to, they usually had photo covers, sometimes paintings. They only had rights to use the principal characters. So once you got away from Kirk and Spock and McCoy, some of the characters, like Sulu didn't look like Sulu, and Uhura didn't look like Uhura. But that was, I think, because they were concerned about this sort of thing when they did their UFO comics, that some of the storylines were, of course, they were simplified and usually 8 pages or less. So there weren't, you know, wasn't fine historical detail, but in broad strokes, it usually told the story pretty well. But the characters never looked correct. And sometimes you would even have Dr. Hynek named, but he looked nothing like himself, or the Pascagoula witnesses. There was an adaptation of that, and they were unrecognizable. So I think that was probably a directive from the legal department. But I read a lot of those as a kid, and you know they were pretty interesting, and they dealt with they're actually available if people want to look them up. The Internet Archive has copies of them. They're worth looking at. They cover a wide range of cases, type of things, and different ideas. They're not. It doesn't strictly deal with the extraterrestrial hypothesis. There's some other things. They had an entertaining recurring feature called Hoaxmaster, who would cover some of the different hoax cases, just to kind of do that for balance, to show that, you know, some of these things, the stories that are told, have explanations that are very ordinary. So, it means a lot to me. It was part of my childhood, so I was always excited by it. The original one in the 1960s was a double-sized or maybe triple-sized issue that sort of told the whole span of UFO history, and even had some things about the, you know, that flaming chariots and shields in ancient days. And I'd never heard of that before. So some of those concepts that broadened the UFO topic was my introduction to them.
Isn't it interesting how a lot of these early stuff, comic books for kids, we thought of, okay, you're a kid, you have the comic books, you watch the cartoons on TV, and then, of course, you have the comic strips and newspapers. Of course, there aren't that many newspapers anymore, I guess. But it has become fair for adults. You have the graphic comics, which have adult stories. You have comic book movies using words that kids don't use. Like, remember the Tim Burton version of Batman, which, by the way, is a very good movie. Of course, it's got a lot of overacting from Jack Nicholson. But Michael Keaton, and we all forgot the quirky characters he played, like Beetlejuice and comedy and everything. As Batman, he was really, really good. He was one of the better people to play Batman. I think more compelling than Christian Bale. I mean, more believable, because you look at this guy and you see a troubled soul. More so, I think, than Christian Bale. Christian Bale had the acting chops. Michael Keaton, when he says, "I'm Batman," you believe it, and he doesn't have a voice that's so deep you can't understand it. He deepens it somewhat. But that, to me, is just a comment about it.
Well, you raise a good point, though, because in the UFO, in adaptations of whether it's science fiction or UFO movie, so often, like, unfortunately, in Earth versus the Flying Saucers, you don't get superstar actors. And most of the time, science fiction movies and comic movies, Alec Guinness in Star Wars was a big exception. But for the most part, you're getting these people who are soap opera quality actors, which I guess soap opera fans will be mad at me for saying that. But not these A-list actors, but the Batman movies proven it, and even some of our science fiction shows from the past, you know, 10 or 20 years, the Battlestar Galactica, when you had a good cast and production, it elevated the material, you know, and you weren't worried about the whether or not, you know, a single spaceship could take on this big, you know, some of the premises you could forgive because of the quality of the talent involved, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
We have to look up this, and we'll get back to a final segment with Kurt Collins, with Gene Randall. And Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight
site free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsite.com/radio to secure $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsite.com/radio. Frontsite, America's gun training destination.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Inasmuch as this is the final segment where we're covering pop culture and UFOs and government conspiracies and everything, Randall has been sticking there with a trivia question, is it, sir?
Yeah, I'm just looking at our forum here where we have our pop culture clips and comics and images. And here's a trivia question for you guys. Tell us about what you know about, and this is really fun because these old films, they typically seem to have these aliens, you know, with like big heads, and they're always abducting some beautiful woman and taking her off to their ship, and they've got this kind of evil grin going. So, Invasion of the Saucer Men.
Okay. Paul Fairman, he was editor of Amazing Stories after, maybe not directly after Ray Palmer. He wrote that story, and it may have been Forrest J. Ackerman as agent that sold that to film. So it was a short story, not long enough for a movie, so they had to pad it out, and they put a lot of humor in there. So you've got, who played the Riddler?
Frank Gorshin, not right.
He has a role in there, and you can tell he's kind of having some fun with that. But what's really neat about that particular movie, you know, it's goofy in a lot of ways. It was the first film to deal with the military cover-up. They have mixed emotions at the end of the movie when the saucer explodes because they don't have anything to take back to headquarters. But on the other hand, thank goodness, we don't have this isn't laying around for anybody to take a picture of, so we can keep this quiet.
By the way, Invasion of the Saucer Men was part of a double feature. We'd have these double features where the movies were like an hour and 10, 15 minutes. What was the other movie it teamed with? Double feature starring Michael Landon.
Oh, my God. I was a teenage werewolf.
You got it.
Oh, I don't believe it. That is awesome. You guys are so awesome. I just put this out there. I thought no way you guys are going to get this. But, Kurt, I am duly impressed. Just some other little fun things. Like, and then the internet hit. Now, do you guys remember back when the internet was just sort of coming online and we started seeing all of these schwa things going? Remember the schwa? The original alien head, you know, with the almond eyes, yeah. Done all Banksy style by artist Bill Barker.
That. But it was huge, right?
Yeah, it was. It was totally huge. There were stickers and posters and schwa. It was like a huge thing. It just like started appearing. And that was something that was pretty fun. And then there's, of course, the I Want to Believe poster, which made it into the X-Files, right?
Yeah, I think that they created that on the for the show, but it was based on the Billy Meyer ship, which is unfortunate. There are so many other images. They, you know, why not the trend photo or something that has at least a little credibility to it? Oh boy, But you mentioned the internet. My first UFO-related thing on the internet, and besides, you know, the pop culture stuff, was looking up the story of Heaven's Gate. It broke in the news. I spent all night on AOL trying to find out more information. Who are these people? What happened to them? What's the story? But, you know, you didn't quite have the 24-hour news cycle then that you could now. I mean, you know, like Twitter, you can get second-by-second updates on that. But that was such a strange case. That's an unfortunate crossover, those folks, between pop culture, because they were big Star Trek fans and referred to their mission as the away team and things like that. That sort of like shows you how tragically this can go wrong in the hands of a charismatic cult leader.
Well, that's so true. But I mean, just if we as ufologists want to include all of this as part of the subject matter, well, we don't have to take all of it seriously. We could compartmentalize it within its own context. And to me, I still find all of it really fascinating, whether it's the real thing or not. The core subject matter, genuine alien visitation, is still there. But the rest of it can be just a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's not just a UFO topic, but there's the reality somewhere, and then there's what, like a fairy tale version or the Hollywood version or the pulp novel version of it, you know, where, you know, in the real world, usually, like if there's an encounter, it's almost like a hit and run. It's something, whether it actually hits or not, but it's like a flyby for a UFO sighting. And that's not dramatic enough for a movie. And then when something happens in real life, whether it's the Bin Laden raid or everything, there's so many people involved. One guy gets the intelligence, one guy gives them, you know, assigns a mission, you know, there's a crew involved. But for the James Bond movie, it's one guy, he gets an assignment, he digs up every useful piece of information, he shoots every bad guy. You know, it's a simplified version, and it's quite distance from any reality that might have been based on, because it's, you know, you've got to have this heroic figure, dramatic structure.
This reminds me, and we got to get this in before we run out of time here. There was another one that I used to just love, and it was called UFO. It was a TV series in the 70s. I think it was British.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, like, this base on the moon and these, like, hot chicks with really, like, purple hair and stuff. And it was just so cool. I just loved that show, right? And some of the episodes were actually really good. I remember there was this one about where this UFO had come down and it landed in the water. It had gone into this river, and all the animals were totally spooked and bad things were happening, and they were trying to figure out where it was.
I'll tell you a couple of nerdy things about that. Jerry Anderson, who did Fireball XO5, and he did things with the marionettes, and this was, I think, his first live-action show, and it was great. So the premise was they hid their anti-alien hunters in a movie studio, which was actually done because it was cheaper than building a set. I mean, they already had this there. They could just film it. And the aliens were very mysterious. They had the ships were almost like upside down bowls. They were more dome shaped and silvery, but they were very sinister. And there was lots of action. Oh, and a couple of ufologists were on the show. Frank Strangis, opened one episode. Some of it's on YouTube, and it's called, but yeah, UFO, and the organization was called Shadow. What was it called? Alien Defense Organization, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. I just love that stuff.
There are so many shows we can talk about that had their runs on TV. Some even were done by sci-fi writers, at least some of it, but died because they were the recordings. They were done live, and the recordings were made with something called kinescope, where they actually film a TV set. And like Captain Video, there are very, very few episodes out there. Of hundreds they did, it was at the beginning like a 15 or 30-minute show every day done live. And some sci-fi writer was looking for some money, would write the scripts for it. Captain Video, all that stuff from the past that's not recoverable. Kurt Collins, where do we find more of your stuff, which is recoverable?
The Saucers That Time Forgot and Blue Glory Lines.
Hey, just Google it. You don't have to remember where it is. We've got links over at the PowerCast forums. We're here. Kurt is an occasional presence. I just love what he does. And he told me before we started, I don't think I have anything new to talk about. Yeah, right. He always does. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. Check out branded, official branded merchandise for the PowerCast at theparacast.shop. That's theparacast.shop. We also have limited presence on Facebook. There are a couple of places there where you can find us. And we have the PowerCast Plus. And the PowerCast Plus is version of this show, free of the network ads, plus the after, the PowerCast podcast. And this weekend, we have a return visit by Katina Kyle. And she'll join us for After the PowerCast with more fascinating paranormal chatter. She's really a great guest. And she'll be on next week's regular show, next week's regular episode of the PowerCast. So you're going to want to hear that. To get After the PowerCast, though, you got to subscribe to the PowerCast Plus. You get, as I say, a version of the show free of the network ads, all for low subscription prices, 40% discounts. Go to theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Okay? So we'll hear from K-Town Katina Kyle on After the PowerCast this week. Kurt Collins, thank you for having something new to say and joining us on the PowerCast.
Oh, thanks. It was fun.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.